Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
We got Snow Crash commenting in our Odyssey chat, which, by the way, is members only at this point. So if you had gone into our Odyssey channel a few weeks ago and you were turned off by the negativity in there, well, all those people are gone because they're not willing to give us a one red cent in order to stay in the chat room, thank goodness. So if you're willing to spend $5 a month on the show, you can go to video.freetalklive.com, click the join button there, and you can join as a supporter of our Odyssey channel. That's where we stream video out to. It's one of the places we stream video to. Snow Crash says in there, regarding our discussion about the Honduran special or autonomous economic zones, he says, fascinating. Regarding the international free trade agreements, Prospera and Morazan, Prospera selling its potential future claims and hitting Honduras government hard for screwing around with the Zetas. Can you get Alex back for updates later on, too? And Alex has called before.
Alex has been a host.
He has been a host of the show. In fact, I'm surprised you haven't had him on your show yet to fill in for Henry or something like that, because I know you guys have done Free Talk Live multiple times together. But so there you go. There's a request for Alex to come back and continue updating on Morazan. Again, he's called in many times in the past, and I would love to hear more about what's going on at Morazan City.
Yeah, I'll have Alex back on in the future. The best way to get all the shows is go to freetalklive.com and sign up for the podcast.
There is, of course, a website. It's morazan.city. I don't know if they post updates or anything.
Morazan.
Thank you. morazan.city. There's a lot more that we can talk about, but we also have some other news to get into, like what's happening in Canada. I feel like we've dug pretty deep on this here tonight. So we go to your phone calls and thoughts here, starting with Skeeter in California. You're on Free Talk Live, Skeeter.
Yo, it's your boy, the Swagmonger, Young Skeet. I'm here to prove that secession is theft and libertarians are first world crybaby spoiled brats that are worse than your average entitled communist. You guys aren't libertarians. You're spoiled bretarians, the true gangsters of the world. You guys want to abuse the benevolent gift of citizenship and steal the democracy.
The benevolent gift of your obedience shall not be abused.
And I'm not even against theft per se, because I don't believe in the non-aggression principle. But the problem is you guys do, which makes you guys hypocrites.
Well, let me ask you this about the citizenship of the United States. Don't you think that it's unfair that the United States is the only citizenship in the world where you've got to continue to file taxes, file your income tax, no matter where you live? So if I move to Honduras and I've lived there for 5 years and I've still got to continue to file a tax form to the IRS. But if I was from Canada, if I was from Great Britain, if I was from Honduras, any other place, if I move and I leave, they don't expect me to pay for the roads in a country I don't live in. They don't expect me to pay for the military to protect the borders of a country I don't live in. They don't expect me to do that. But the United States does.
One simple solution, Mark. Renounce your citizenship and stop crying.
Well, if I renounce my citizenship, I'll never be able to get back in the U.S.
Exactly. And you know how valuable your citizenship is. It allows you to travel to Honduras in the first place.
The United States also uses its power in the world. Most of the airline flights go through the U.S. So you're going to stop off in Atlanta. You're going to stop off in Miami. You're going to stop off in LaGuardia. You're going to stop off in L.A. And you have to have a visa just to travel through. Now, they're the only country in the world that I know of that this is required. And
really?
It's another unique aspect to the United States. And I think that it is kind of despicable
Yeah.
That's the rules, Mark. If you don't like it, you can renounce. Right?
Well, what about the people who can't pass through?
Invalid.
I have a friend who is from Germany, but she can't come through, touch the United States soil because she visited Cuba one time. And now she can't travel through Miami, so she has to pay more in flights to go through, like, Panama City or, you know, some other variety of places.
Yeah, it's just the rules. You just got to – it's a package deal with all the benefits you receive from
– That's what bureaucrats always say. She doesn't get any benefits. I get benefits, but I could renounce them if you – like you said, I could renounce the U.S. citizenship. And by the way, during COVID, the United States embassies shut down for 3 years and just basically didn't let anybody renounce because those are the rules. You signed up for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the rules.
Okay, you've repeated yourself now five times. Did you have anything new to say?
Yeah, so you guys first, the secession is theft, because all of you guys agreed.
Secession is theft.
Yeah, secession is theft.
Who's the victim?
Even Mark said. Even Mark understands. He said it.
I didn't say secession is theft, no.
No, I say that. I caught you saying the fact that you guys got to realize all U.S. territories ultimately owned by the federal government and the U.S. citizenship collective, right?
I think
you agree with that, Mark.
Look, that is functionally the way things go. Yes,
exactly.
And if you're going to fight it and spend all of your life fighting it, you can fight gravity. You can fight very difficult things. I say just move and be free.
Yeah.
Why is secession theft? Can you please explain?
Because, okay, so first, Mark agrees that U.S. territory is the U.S. citizenship collective because we are ultimately the government, right?
No, that's totally false. Yeah, I will not agree with that statement.
We are not the government.
Elect
our electives.
Well, Skeeter, can I vote for you for president?
I have to run first.
Well, the problem is that nobody will ever be successful in running except crooked old perverts.
Well, that's the system. I mean, I
know! That's what's so awful about it. Look, I get it. The system's in place. There's nothing you're going to do to change it. But that doesn't make it good.
No, but that's the thing he's defending. That's what you're defending here.
When it's the best alternative, why are you complaining?
How dare you complain about something that could possibly be better?
It's not the best alternative. Compared to what? There are places that you can go that you will live a better life, and I have.
No, that's after you get rich in the United States, right? That's after you probably accumulated wealth, and then now you're just going somewhere where it's cheaper to live.
The U.S. is a great place to accumulate wealth.
Not where you can... What was that?
It's a great place to accumulate wealth. You're right.
Singapore is way more economically free, according to the various different studies on economic freedom out there. There are, I think, like a dozen other countries that are more economically free than the United States.
Including Canada, if that makes any sense.
So thank you for the call tonight, Skeeter. I don't know. I think what he was going to say, he never really gets to his point. But I think what he was going to say is that he thinks secession is theft because then we won't be paying for the U.S. military that'll be keeping us safe in New Hampshire when New Hampshire secedes. Which is, of course, a completely different view than what most people have. A lot of people have the view that the U.S. military will actually crush any state that secedes from the United States. Yeah. We'll actually come in and bomb it.
To be fair, there might be just a miscommunication on the nature of theft. So what Mark has pointed out is that de facto, they run these places.
Yeah, they own them. De facto own them.
Yeah, this organization runs all of these places. That's just the way that things currently are. May not be the way they always will be, but it's the way they are now. The thing is, that's not how theft works. The way theft works is whether you actually have a real claim to the thing. So now, if I steal your stuff, I control it, but I still stole it from you. Now, if Mark then steals that stuff from me, he hasn't actually committed theft from me,
right?
Because I had no real claim to it.
If you got your claim to land through revolution and lose your claim to land through revolution, I live by the sword, die by the sword. I wouldn't call that theft.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call secession theft. I think it's an interesting little line, though.
You're saying that
secession is theft.
Just to clarify what you're saying here, Peekless, though, you're saying that everything the government people have is stolen, and so there's no way that you can be guilty of theft from taking from something from them.
Right, exactly. And even in their own legal system, the foundation of property law is the fact that they dominated this area. That was why one of the first cases was whether or not, I forget which tribe it was, but there was a tribe who was saying, hey, we've, you know, lived here forever, and we gave this company the right to use this land, and since we have a better claim and a prior claim to you on this land and its use, you are not allowed to tell this company it can't use this land. But in that court case, they found that since they dominated them, they cannot acknowledge their claim.
Mm.
It's like, okay, we took dominion over this. We conquered this space. And as a conqueror, we cannot say that you still own it.
Mm.
So the property right is ours through conquest.
Might makes right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. The foundation of the legal system is, in fact, might makes right. If you conquer, you are the rightful owner in our legal system.
Yeah, I mean, when New Hampshire secedes from the United States, who knows what that's going to look like as far as whatever kind of arrangement that they negotiate with the U.S. government, like, oh, there's an Air Force base here, there's, you know, federal
land. Sounds like a fantasy world, but all right.
Well, I'm sure people said that about leaving the king back in the day.
And they certainly said that about the end of slavery.
Yeah.
They did it an entirely different way, and the world, you'll note that
violent
revolutions don't work as well as they used to. Not nearly.
Well, no one here is proposing
you
a violent.
You mean they used to work?
Well, that's how the United States came into being. It, you know, guys in blue coats shove bayonets through guys in red coats.
And we're going to do it peacefully this time around. So when it actually happens, and it happens on a peaceful basis, it's going to be hard to say exactly how all that's going to shake out. Like, what happens to the military base? There's an Air Force base on the seacoast, for instance.
It's barely there, though. I mean, they really don't use it for much stuff. I mean, like some...
It's there, though.
What about Space Force, Mark? What are we going to do with Space Force?
It has to be figured out. Those things have to be ironed out. I don't know if people are going to ask the federal thugs for some sort of quote-unquote protection or what they'd be willing to trade in relation to that. But what I think Skeeter has said in recent days is he just believes that simply because we would exist in the Northern Hemisphere or whatever, that we would
automatically receive the benevolent protection of the United States.
You mean like Toronto does?
And that therefore is quote-unquote
But Toronto
theft.
Has made an agreement with that organization, and as such, they are entitled to that protection.
Well, I suppose a legal secession would be agreeable in that way. I just don't think that it's ever going to happen. I think it's a pipe dream.
Well, as far as the argument goes, and he's never responded to this, I have pointed out how I have way, way more enemies because of the United States federal government than I ever could possibly have gotten through my entire life without
them. That's why so many Americans pretend to be Canadian when they travel abroad.
Right.
Yeah.
So
speaking of Canada, I do actually have something in the news. About that coming up here. And let's just jump right into it. From AlJazeera.com, I saw a clip today. They don't actually have it in this article, but they got some quotes from Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in Canada announcing that he is going to be cracking down on grocery chains if they don't take steps to control rising food prices. Trudeau?
Yeah. Why does he go after moms? Moms, what are you doing spending this much money on groceries? Well, that's what the grocery store sells them at. Grocery stores, what are you doing spending this? That's what the distributors sell it at. Distributors, what are you doing? That's because your government has been printing money like a bunch of drunken sailors. Sorry, drunken sailors.
Trudeau. Oh, so you figured out plan B there.
So he said the heads of the five largest supermarket chains, including Walmart and Costco, would be asked to come up with a plan to address rising prices before Thanksgiving, which I didn't know Canada had Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's in October.
Oh, they have a different Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay. So sooner rather than later.
It's Thanksgiving, eh?
Trudeau, who is facing questions about his leadership amid sagging public approval, also announced that sales tax would be waived for the construction of new rental apartments as part of measures to address cost of living concerns. He said, quote, if their plan doesn't provide real relief for the middle class and people working hard to join it, then we will take further action, and we are not ruling anything out, including tax measures. So, because people are spending or paying too much, according to the government, at the grocery store, The solution is to threaten to make those people pay even more if the grocery store doesn't do some sort of magic.
Magic.
And lower prices that can't really be done. Because as you alluded to in the beginning of the show when we mentioned this, Pecos Mountaineer, and I've never worked in the business of groceries, but I've always heard this, that while there may be some items that there's a larger margin on, the bulk of the items, the overall margins within grocery on average is like
2%.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like barely 2%. Anything. They make money on volume. Mm-hmm. They make money on a lot of people coming in, buying a lot of stuff. That's how they can pay their bills and pay their employees and keep operating. They're not making 50%. They're not making 20%. It's more like 2% or something like that.
It kind of reminds me of when Biden called upon the gas station owners to lower their prices. As if that was how any of this works.
How'd that work out, by the way? Gas prices are right now, I believe, record.
Rock bottom. Just here. Rock bottom. So cheap and getting cheaper.
No.
Just way cheaper now that Russia and Saudi Arabia have decided to turn off the floodgates.
Right. Oh, and Saudi Arabia joining BRICS now,
uh-huh.
as well.
It says the national average for gas prices is $3.87 per gallon, with California, of course, leading the way. Why wouldn't they?
They always do.
It's some sort of like quarterly. I forget what there was a headline within the last 24 hours that the current prices aren't like a record high for all time, but they're like for this time of year or something. There's some new record that got set by this particular pricing that's out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's just remember when it comes to gas prices are how many Americans determine how the economy's doing. And that's a fine measure if that's what you want to use. But it is in the interest of Republicans, essentially, at this time to say the economy sucks and it's going to suck the whole time Democrats are in.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying it's in their interest to say so.
It's just the implication that's wrong. They imply that it will stop sucking when they're in power,
right.
Which it has never.
And they forget that Donald Trump signed the very first $2 trillion spending bill that kicked off this recent round of inflation.
And, absolutely. Look, you make whatever arguments you want to make. I mean, I'd say that generally the economy is usually doing better when the Republicans are in than when the Democrats are. But the Democrats would say that's because the economy is a trailing indicator for policy, and the Democrats always had to deal with Republicans' policies, which ruin the economy. And
the Republicans are always cranking up the spending while they're in there, too. Yeah. I mean, I don't believe that.
I think you
better.
Probably have a lower price on goods from Republicans because they tend to be very, very oil friendly. That brings gas prices down. That brings shipping prices down. That brings goods prices down. But they are just as happy to print an ungodly sum of money as the Democrats, and that brings all prices up.
Mm-hmm. Democrats are tax and spend. Republicans are deficit and spend, is the old saying.
Right.
And just remember, people who are talking about a good economy right now are playing into the hands of the Democrats. So you never know what to believe. That's because we have a political adversarial political system, ladies and gentlemen, that incentivizes lying.
So basically what you have happening in Canada right now is very similar to what has happened here in the United States within the last couple of years, where the political class is blaming everybody but themselves for the problems that the people of Canada are facing. And I think it was Peter St. Ange, Professor St. Ange on Twitter. He does a really great daily 3-minute long update about economic things. There was one where he did focus on Canada a few weeks ago, and he played a clip of a lady. There's been a few of these. There's some in the U.S. and in Canada as well, but probably more than a few, but I've seen, you know, a handful. But of this lady in her car, you know, doing like the selfie thing with her video device and just going off on how difficult her life is. And I don't know if she was like a single mom or whatever her circumstances, but it's getting more difficult. She's going to have to move in with, you know, roommates. She can barely put food on the table. She's applying for her third job. And she's talking about moving to the United States because she heard it's better down in the United States than it is in Canada. So the suggestion was that the Canadian people are having it. They're getting it even harder on the chin than the people in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And
Well, and I absolutely would agree with that, because what is happening right now seems to be a massive power struggle in terms of central banks. So and that has a lot to do with the whole Fed rate hiking. So every time the Fed funds rate hikes, everywhere else in the world has to respond to that. And
hike as well?
Right. And more or less they have to hike as well, the exceptions being China and Japan. Mm-hmm. And Japan is suffering mightily from their choosing not to hike, and China is just kind of on a completely different system because, you know, communism.
Mm-hmm.
And the European zone, and as a result, the Dominion of Canada is suffering quite a bit of extra pain from that. So I wouldn't be surprised at all about that. And just real quick, two things that have popped up on my radar as real concerns. One, we have the Open Market Committee of the Federal Reserve is announcing whether or not they'll hike that rate again, and the market is not ready for it if they hike that. Like, there's a 5% chance that is priced in the current market, and I strongly suspect that he is going to hike that rate, because we are seeing an increase in, even if it's a small increase, in our inflation, and we are seeing great jobs numbers, and that's his dual mandate.
They want to get rid of those jobs, right?
Right. He wants to get rid of jobs so he can bring down the inflation, because people won't have the money to spend. So the entire market is thoroughly prepared for him to just keep the rate right where it is, and if he surprises them, you might see some serious shocks in the market this time. Hmm. Now, if he does keep it the way that it is, the next thing coming down the pipe that I'm concerned about is in October, that forgiveness of student loans expires. And, like, half of the students...
Didn't that get put on hold?
It's still on hold.
It's just a, you know... Suspension of payments.
Right. Mm-hmm. Payments are suspended until October.
Ah, okay.
Right. And so
the forgiveness thing got turned over, right? Yeah. They were going to do like 10 grand. That's not happening.
Yeah. And all the people that owe this money to colleges, of course, they've been putting money away to prepare for the times when they have to pay for the school that they got. And they're going to be, they're going to have to start paying that in October. No, absolutely not. They haven't been putting any money away.
They've been spending it.
Consumer debt is skyrocketing.
Record highs.
These people haven't been saving anything.
Yeah, consumer debt, credit card rollovers are at record levels. Like, it's an absolute mess. But we haven't quite hit the tipping point, and these are a couple of events that might knock us over that, because there's this knock-on effect as soon as half the students aren't able to pay their debts, because of course they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And then that makes the credit crunch even harder.
How are you going to pay your debt when the average rent is about to hit $3,000 for the first time in history?
Right.
We have record high. It's like $2,800 right now, which probably is a record high on its own.
So
can you imagine?
Yeah, do I pay my credit card? Do I pay my student loan debt? Do I pay my rent?
Right.
I can't pay all of them. Then there's a credit crunch that comes from that.
You got to pay for the
house.
Then
the commercial real estate starts suffering even further. So we have some serious
looking
problems
ugly
coming down the
for
pipe.
Sure. But they're going to force grocers to, do what exactly?
Change the laws of physics.
Yeah. Are we looking at price controls? He didn't say that, but he said, quote, "We are not ruling anything out." More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You USA News update. Talks between the United Auto Workers and Big Three automakers resuming. GM CEO Mary Barra telling CNN the deal her company is offering is more than fair.
I think you have to look at the whole compensation package, not only 20% increase in gross wage, but also the profit-sharing aspect of it, world-class health care.
The union seeks increased profits, shorter work weeks, and restored benefits for employees. Authorities say DNA testing has confirmed that fewer people died from last month's wildfire in Maui. The death toll of 115 has been revised lower to 97. The number of people still missing has fallen to 31. Kansas has stopped altering transgender individuals' birth certificates to align with their gender identities. The state health department's announcement is based on a recent law asserting that the state is not obliged to acknowledge the gender of transgender individuals. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Phones are open. We were talking about the Canadian thugs, the government goons up there threatening grocers now, saying they want the grocers to do something about the rising food prices. Of course, they can't do anything about that because they're barely making any money as it is. That is the grocery business. That is the nature of that business. They are subject to whatever it is the eggs cost, or whatever it is the meat costs, or whatever it is that, you know, they're putting on the shelves. They have to pay the price of their wholesaler, and the wholesalers have to pay the price to the farmers and, you know, the truckers and everybody else that's involved here.
And I always wonder when they do this, what is the percentage of people who know that's not how it works, but it makes great politics, and what's the percentage of them that actually buy their own propaganda about, no, it's the business owners that set the prices.
We just need to threaten them with anything, including taxes. He says, we're not ruling out anything, including tax measures, if they don't take action by Thanksgiving, which, according to Mark, is in Canada in October.
I'll tell you one thing they're not ruling out, a central bank digital currency with a UBI on it, a nice universal basic income so you can afford your food.
That's definitely something the Bank of Canada, is it, I think, is going to be promoting at some point. How far they are along that journey, I don't yet know. But we're going to keep an eye on these things. Of course, if you're up there in Canada, feel free to update us. Let's go to the phones. Your calls and thoughts here. We have, I believe we have Dr. Butt on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, you know it's not Dr. Butt. You changed that from the thing you won't let me say.
All right. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about this gun thing in Mexico. There's an allegation that most people don't know about.
Yeah, just to clarify, this is the story you guys, I think, covered last week, right?
Yeah.
Where the governor has banned the possession of guns within the Albuquerque area. Is that correct?
As a health emergency.
And I think it's not the possession of guns, but the open carry of guns.
No. It was open or concealed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because how would they know?
And first of all,
Stop and frisk.
Peakless soul, part of what I was going to say, not only they want to use the food thing as a wedge for UBI, but they want to completely socialize food like they've socialized medicine and control you not only through medicine but through food and everything else. That's what they want to do. And rent, $3,000 rent.
Rent this time. It's corporate socialism.
Right. That's better. And rent, if you had bought an acre or a couple acres of land somewhere where land doesn't cost anything, and paid it off in one payment, and then built with cash whatever you're going to live in, you wouldn't have any rent payment or mortgage or anything like that. So New Mexico guns. there's an interesting phenomenon, and like this, there was a couple characters in the national news, and I don't listen to any news. I get all my news secondhand, so the only thing I hear is if I'm listening to your program and you're talking about something or whatever. I don't hear any of it firsthand, so you can correct me. But David Hogg and some other people were in the news about this odd thing about how they're saying, yeah, they're right. The state shouldn't be able to do that to you about, you know, making an order so you can't have guns. That's a job for the feds. So only the feds should be able to do that. And in New Mexico, we got a guy, and here's where I do double duty on my phone call. We got the Attorney General of the state of New Mexico. His job duty... let me cut right to his letter he wrote. He wrote a letter to the Tiny Tyrant, the Minnie Mao, the Barking Chihuahua, Michelle Loser Grisham, the governor of New Mexico. He wrote a letter to her, an official business letter, that he published on Twitter. And it said, paraphrasing in a nutshell, it said, my job duty is to be your lawyer when you get sued. I'm not going to be your lawyer and defend you because what you're doing is blatantly unconstitutional, which is aligned with this David Hogg thing. So two things. Number one, the Attorney General of the state of New Mexico is Raul Torres, which is the guy, if you remember, KUNM, where they tried for 3 years to convict me on four counts of harassing
the radio station.
On the radio station that's owned by the taxpayers. The exact same thing as what you got, except you're private and they're owned by the taxpayers, and they would have guests on there that are also paid for by the taxpayers, like senators and stuff.
Right.
And then I would call in David Olson. I would call in, and one day after calling there for years, they told me, don't ever call here again. We're not taking your calls anymore. And I asked why, and they gave a bunch of conflicting reasons, and the one they settled on was because you tell the call screener you're going to talk about one thing, and then you talk about something else. So never call here again. And, of course, that's like bait to me, so I immediately call them back as much as I want to. And they call they have their own private police force, you know, the University of New Mexico police
force. They do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, almost every college does.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
But you know, the idea of going out into the community and serving somebody freaking papers for calling their radio station just sounds insane.
Yeah, especially when the name of the radio program, remember, is the KUNM Call-In Show.
Yeah.
Please call us with your questions and comments.
And you won that case.
Well, and hey, what's the point of giving the Department of Education a SWAT team if you're not going to use them from time to time?
What was about Torres, though? I think you got distracted from talking about him.
So Torres at the time was the Bernalillo County DA. He was the one prosecuting me on this for 3 years until I finally defeated him. They didn't have... Basically, I did nothing. I just stood on the facts, and I let them offer me this plea, that plea, the other plea, the next plea, another plea, and I just said, let me think about that. No. And then a couple weeks later, a month later, they'd come with something else. No. And it went on like that for years.
So
and
who is he now, Torres?
He's the AG of the state of New Mexico, the attorney general that I just said wrote that letter. He wrote that letter to the governor saying that his job is to defend her, but he's not going to defend her. But he's
Look, lady, I'm communist. Corrupt, but even I have limits.
Right. There's a bigger picture here, which is point number two. But let me finish point number one. Mm. So point number one is that Raul Torres, the guy that tried to put me in jail for calling into the public radio station, and their argument was that I lied to the call screener, and that's essentially what they want to put me in jail for. Mm-hmm. Is because anyway, and so he's the AG, he's that guy. He wow. also he wants to be governor, like everybody else in the state of New Mexico.
So this is political for him. He's using this as a campaign move.
Right. Mm-hmm. And also let me remind you that Raul Torres is married to Nasha Torres, who is the dean of students at the University of New Mexico at the time that I got written up on charges. Uh-huh. And they sleep together, and she is in charge of all things legal on campus, and he's in charge of all who's going to get prosecuted in Bernalillo County. That's a conflict.
Yeah, no conflict there, right? Okay. Is that your point, too?
Right. One more. We got point two, A, B, and C. Last thing on point two. Last thing on point one is that I found out through my discovery that the KUNM, they called Albuquerque police to deal with me. And Albuquerque police looked at the facts and said, pound sand, get out of here.
Wow.
So they called their own private police force, KUNM police force, and had them write me up on charges. Okay, so point two. Now, this larger picture, which this is the part that people may or may not have noticed. It's odd that David Hogg would agree or disagree with the governor of New Mexico on the gun thing.
It looked like the Democrats didn't understand which side they should be on this particular one. And what do they care about the Constitution's protections of gun rights?
Well, let me answer that. Here's where you may be getting played. Remember, I said what Hogg said, and the thing with with Raul Torres, the AG in New Mexico. It's odd that he wouldn't defend her on the gun thing because he's a communist like she is.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the deal. Remember what David Hogg said, and I get this all secondhand, so you can correct me, but he said something to the effect of, the state shouldn't do that to people regarding their constitutional rights. Only the Fed should be able to do that. Mm. They're trying to get rid of states' rights is what they're trying to do.
Okay.
Like, hey, well, I am all for instituting a communist government, but not on the state level. That's way too free.
They tried that in Massachusetts, and it didn't work.
Thank you for the call tonight. Appreciate it. Let's continue with Dana in Michigan, listening to WTKG. Go ahead, Dana.
This is like coming home. It's old times all over again. How long are you staying, Mark?
Tomorrow.
Oh, you got to do this more often. I'm serious.
Well, he does his own show. I know you don't get it on WTKG there, but Mark has been doing Friday.
It's not the same, Ian. You don't understand.
I see what you're saying. But he has been on the air for the last 2 months on Friday nights, holding down the fort on Fridays.
And I've tried to do call-ins with Ian, but, I mean, there's some, you know, the connectivity issues. Like, Ian runs the show, and then I'm just called in and stay as a sort of remote host. But it's difficult to make it work. It's not seamless.
Right. And we talked about this before, and you told me the same thing. But it just,
I'm like glad you like it, like, Dana.
It's like coming home. It's great. And he and I have something personal to say. Whether you want to wrap your head around this and your heart or not, prayers work. I prayed so hard on you.
Thank you.
And I'm not a holy roller, but hopefully this time from now until I believe it's October 2nd, correct me if
That's
I'm
right,
wrong.
Yeah. Thank you, Dana. I appreciate it.
You are welcome. Hopefully that judge will have a change of heart. Because if that crackhead is running around with guns and doing whatever he wants in the White House, you know what I mean? It's just so frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm at the end of my rope. But anyway, on a positive note, it's just so great to hear you guys back together again. Please come back more often, Mark.
I will be back in three short weeks, or two short weeks probably.
Okay, good.
To see my friend and be on the show and all that stuff.
good. I need help wrangling Ian. He gets out of control sometimes.
Oh, you don't have to tell me, Dana. I know all about it.
Dana, did you have anything else you wanted to say? Thank you for the nice, the kind words, but was there any comments on the news or any issues?
No, I think I'm going to keep it positive because after the New Mexico governor thing, oh my gosh, there's still a hole in there.
I mean, I guess there was an injunction against that, so that is probably positive.
Yeah, I know, I've been following it so closely.
Was it a state injunction? State Supreme Court?
Pull it up.
Just curious as to who.
Well, Pequess, did you hear the sheriff? He said, I took such a great speech, and it was off the cuff. And he said, I swore an oath, and I'm going to abide by that oath. And that oath is to the Constitution, and most people aren't aware that states have constitution as well as the federal government, and I am not enforcing this.
Well, so, I wish more sheriffs would do that on everything else that violates the Constitution.
I agree.
But I am happy to hear it whenever it is that they say it. Thank you, Dana, for the call tonight.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dana.
The number again, 603-283-6160. Let's continue. Law Dog is in Michigan as well. Go ahead, Law Dog.
Hey, how you doing?
What's on your mind?
Oh, what's on my mind is this. Oh, there's a lot of people that are just living off their credit cards with just enormous
record credit card debt, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to allow me to give them hope or not?
What do you mean?
Well, see, credit card debt is interstate commerce, which is under the federal jurisdiction. These state judges, be it in Michigan or whatever 50 states, that, you know, it's out of their jurisdiction. So what you do is you go with a motion of summary disposition of improper jurisdiction. And because the federal jurisdiction has the FAA, which is the
okay, you're losing me already here. Are you saying you have some sort of procedure to get rid of credit card debt that has to do with filing court paperwork?
Yeah, you'd have to file a motion to summary disposition.
Oh, so like if they stopped paying their credit card and then the credit card company comes after them, then they would file this in court?
Yeah. Then what you do is they're junk debt buyers. And what they do is they buy this at 3 to 5 cents on the dollar. And so they can't afford to do much of anything on it. So what you do is... with your motion of summary disposition, you kind of give a diversionary tactic and you put in the correct contract because these junk debt buyers, the affiant, who's probably a drug addict that worked at McDonald's and is probably, you know, doing lines of coke while they're, doing their business at, the debt collection, office, they're trash and you can get them, that way.
Isn't there just a better system of don't buy crap you don't need?
Absolutely.
Pay for what you buy.
No.
And don't
people,
go into credit card debt.
People are living off of their credit cards now.
Yes, some are certainly legitimately living off their credit cards, and there's no doubt. It's like arguing about the legitimate poor versus the illegitimate poor, the deserving poor versus the undeserving poor. I don't know what the percentages are, but my advice to everybody is don't get yourself into credit card debt.
I think that's great advice, and we don't do financial advice here on Free Talk Live, so that's just Mark's
personal advice.
That's Mark's personal experience and what he would suggest.
Why don't you just give these people hope and have them because if they
well,
get
I'm not
going to
get on the air
like
and promote
these,
questionable approaches.
Like these,
I'm not a lawyer,
this isn't
law dog. So
it works. The proof is in the pudding.
You've done it.
Huh?
You've done it.
Well,
can you point out a case where it's worked?
It's alleged.
Can you say
and
like
it's
state of blah versus whoever, and say, okay, here's an example of exactly how it's been done.
Well, it starts with alleged. You know, Who's the burden of proof on? The burden of proof is on the guy who's coming to get the money.
Let me see if I'm following what you're saying.
In the civil case, yeah.
So he has no evidence. He's not giving any. But let me see if I'm following what you're saying. You're saying when you're in this debt, they sell your debt off to a collector at pennies on the dollar, and then it's the debt collector that takes you to court, and then you file you're filing some kind of motion for what was it? Summary what?
A summary disposition.
And what does that mean?
That means that you're asking the judge to drop the case, and you take his jurisdiction away from him, and it makes him.
But
angry.
You've never actually done it.
Yes, I've taken jurisdiction away from a state judge before. Because I can. It's allowed by law.
Because most of the time when I see people challenging jurisdiction, I see the judge ignoring what they say and just barreling forward.
No, he can't ignore 2011 AT&T and Concepcion. It's a 5-4. The dissenting opinion was Judge Thomas, Clarence Thomas, says this is a state issue. And that was an ascending opinion.
Okay. Well, you've lost me at this point, Law Dog.
So
where could someone go to learn more about this technique that you're advocating?
Well, it used to be called debtor boards, and they blew it up because they had lawyers come in there and start casing these people. I mean, these people are some of the best legal law minds that I ever seen.
Right, I'm just asking you where, if somebody wanted to learn more about this thing you're talking about, this summary thing,
That's where the hobos smell like pizza.
Hang on, just in the interest of studying, what was that, 2004 AT&T versus who?
No, it's 2011 AT&T versus Concepcion.
Concepcion?
Concepcion, yeah.
So there's no website out there that you can point people to. There's no easy...
No, that's all you need to do is just Google that. You take
that's
that it, to the judge. You stick it up his rectum and you pull it out his mouth and he'll say he's sorry.
Okay, well, I would love to see the proof of this, and that's the problem is he's saying he's done this. And there's so many different, and thank you for the call tonight, there's so many different theories, court theories out there, and some of them sound really good, right? They're advocates, seem to know what they're talking about, they seem to be very educated, they can spout off about court cases and citations and this and that. But then when it comes down to you actually trying to apply it in real life, it doesn't work. Because a lot of this stuff, maybe it did work for this one guy, this one time, in this one court in Michigan. But if you can't duplicate it, and you can't point to that being duplicated, you can't say, look, I did it, here's my court case, here's what I filed, here's what they said in response, and actually have it documented without having to have somebody go to, you know, BF Michigan and go to the court and try to pull the file up or whatever and do independent research on it. And then you can't point to another, at least two or three other people who've duplicated the exact same thing. You still just have a theory. You got to have some kind of proof of this stuff.
So I'm with you on that. On the other hand, I do like the idea of, look, if you're in court, it is almost always just a matter of pushing things onward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you can get that next continuance, if you can get that next appeal in order to not get slammed with XYZ, that often is the difference between whether or not you can get your argument together in order to really fight the thing. So if this is just one extra tactic that you can at least try in case the credit card companies are already coming against you, I'm all for airing it. Oh, and to answer the question about New Mexico, it was a district court judge, so a federal judge.
Federal district court overturned or stayed or whatever.
Did a preliminary injunction.
Against her order.
Right.
Okay, got it. Let's continue here. And look, I want some of this stuff to work, mind you, okay? Jay Noon is our Thursday night co-host. He's deep into one of these theories right now.
I don't know how much I want to incentivize people buying whatever they want to buy, being irresponsible with their money, and then not having to pay their debts.
I don't want that either. And I agree with you, Mark, that is, you know, just don't buy too much crap. be fiscally responsible and don't get into debt if you can avoid it. I'm not talking about the debt tactics or whatever. I'm just talking about these courtroom theories about how to get the state or the system off of your back, whether it be regarding debt or criminal or whatever. You know, some of them are very, very attractive. They sound very good. But whenever you look some of these gurus up, you find out they've gone to prison. Some of these people, there was somebody who was citing to me at my hearing the other day, oh, you got to try this thing. And, you know,
well,
he cites
going
this
to
thing.
Prison isn't in and of itself the problem. I mean, you're going to be carrying that around here shortly, quite possibly, too. And I already am.
Right. No, I get what you're saying. But if somebody is advocating a certain court theory,
yep.
and that very same person has then been put to prison after they've been
advocating
that
weird
court
theories.
Theory, I don't know if that gives them much credence as far as their theories working.
Mm.
So I really want to see some proof.
Kind of like a fat dietitian suggesting you use his diet book. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I want to see some hard proof of these things. And they just almost every time you ask one of these gurus, have you actually done it? Or one of the people who's promoting the guru, because that's usually what it is. It's usually some fan who's you know, bought into the guru who says, oh, so-and-so guru says you should just file this or file that. And I always say, have you done it? No, I haven't done it yet, but blah, 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 and then they just keep going off.
Now, to address your moral concern, I'm completely on the other side of that. Okay. If it comes down to a question between Visa or MasterCard and a human being, I'm on the side of the human being. Visa and MasterCard are extensions of the United States federal government, and they have no right to anything. So I'm all for taking their money and spending it, especially on something that helps human beings, if you can.
Mm. I think that, you know, look, most people who are going out and spending money, these on credit cards, they're not spending it on anything that's really going to make their lives better. Like, they're, you know, if they do get all this debt discharged, they still have their problem. And their central problem is they buy a bunch of crap to fill the hole in their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And
consumerism.
Yeah. And it doesn't work. And, you know, they're right back. Give them bankruptcy. They'll be right back where they were in 5 years. If not sooner.
Probably true. Let's go to Tim. He's in Florida.
Well, I just want to say right quick on that one, though. You know the old give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, teach a man to fish. But if you teach a man to fish while he is literally starving to death, it's not going to benefit him.
I got you.
Tim, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the last caller, I think what he's talking about is basically defrauding the credit card company through legal methods. For example, if you dispute a debt, the collector only has so many days to respond to your dispute, and if they don't respond, you're basically off the hook. So it kind of sounds like he's suggesting, like, exploiting this sort of tactic to rip off the creditor.
Maybe. I think it sounded like to me he was talking about courtroom tactics once it's already gone to a trial. I mean, there's one thing to using the system in a legal way to fight people within the system. And I'm not saying I know what he was talking about. I don't know. It wasn't really clear to me. But we're out of time here tonight. If you want to continue that discussion, hang on, because in about 30 minutes, Beard Talk Live is coming up on our video stream at watch.freetalklive.com.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Extendivite.com immediately. You're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.